listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
I think that my stomach started to growl about halfway through the interview, just talking with Rick about the ingredients in the menu at his restaurant. Mm-hmm. And oh, man, so hungry now. Mm-hmm. I feel like as soon as we get done with this, I'm going to have to order some lunch from American Artisans for sure.
Absolutely. What I like most about it is, you know, when you go to the, he's got signs on the wall. You know it's going to be fresh ingredients. You know it's going to be premium quality food that you're ingesting. Even their potato chips mm-hmm. are homemade.
Hand cut. Yes. Fried in house. Yeah.
So I feel so much better about going to get a lunch that's not covered in processed ingredients and that's actually tasty.
Well, and you've also got the aspect of the cool decor in there because you can buy pretty much anything off the wall. And well, as you'll hear in our interview with Rick, it's just a really original place. But mm-hmm. there was a lot of things that you did not know about Rick's mm-mm. story that kind of blew you away. But something that stands out to me, and I don't want to place an age number on our guests today, but Rick Christman has a ton of longevity in the businesses that he's been working mm-hmm. in. As I said, you'll hear in the interview, it's just a really cool story, and there's no other way I can put it. But longevity is a very important thing to me mm-hmm. because, you know, you've got to stick with something to turn it into quality. And you know who else has some serious longevity around here? It's Don's Easy Pay. Don's Easy Pay has been in business, family owned and operated for over 40 years. So not only are you getting the benefit of working with a family-owned business and all the perks that come with that, you've got the quality because they care about their customers. Mm-hmm. Customer service and quality is all right there. So if you need anything new for your home, you want to go to the business that exemplifies longevity in the community, you need to go to Don's Easy Pay.
With all their experience in serving customers over
40 years.
40 years. What they've learned and really honed in is people want a variety of payment options. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter what your situation is, what you can afford, like they're going to figure out they've got several different options for you at Don's, which is really, really awesome.
Bottom line, they're going to take care mm-hmm. of you. But in the meantime, we want to hear more about Rick and all the amazing things he has done in his longevity mm-hmm. over his long lifespan. So let's meet today's guest, Mr. Rick Christman. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I'm your host, Ashley Smith, along with my co-host, Jerry.
Hello there.
And our guest today in the studio is Rick Christman. Rick, say hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're really happy to have you.
I think I'm happy to be here.
You think? You think? You don't know yet.
Time will tell.
He's like, what fresh hell is in store for me now? For listeners, those of you who are listening outside of our local area and might not know, Rick Christman is the owner of American Artisans, which is a restaurant and art gallery here in MENA. But Rick is so much more than just that. He's got a really interesting story, in my opinion. He might not think he does. I know that when I approached you about this and you were like, well, let's wait till we can talk about bike trails because Rick is very involved in all of the things that our tourism council here in MENA does. I said, no, we don't want to talk about that. We want to hear your story because you do. You have an interesting story. So we're going to throw it back to the beginning. You're originally from Texas, correct?
Yes, Oklahoma and then Texas.
I even want to go back to your college days because your wife is one of the sweetest people I've ever met. I love Donna. And I kind of want to know the story of where you guys met.
Well, we were both working at a steel company in Dallas. She was a plant foreman. Well, I was working in a plant to start with, moved up into sales, and she had to ask me out.
She made the first move.
She absolutely did.
Uh-huh.
So we went out and had a good time, you know, just farting around different things, and eventually thought, mm-hmm. well, this will work.
Okay. So where did you go to college at?
TCU.
All right. And Donna was?
She went to North Texas.
Okay. This is what's really interesting to me about Donna. And I don't know, Jerry, if I've ever shared this info with you, but enlighten me again, Rick, what is Donna's degree in?
Recreation.
Yes.
Nice.
So she literally could be like managing the park system here. Like that would be what her degree would qualify her for.
Yep.
And she is a sports nut, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. She
like screaming
she
at the TV.
It. Yeah. Well, and calling things before the announcers, you know, I mean, it's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. I just think that's if you know Donna or if you just meet Donna, that is the last thing you expect mm-hmm. when you're talking to Donna, that she could probably school you in everything sports. And that was what her original degree intention was for. And this kind of goes back to something that you and I had talked about, you know, when you were sort of telling me your background. At what point was it that you started to become interested in woodworking, cabinetry?
We bought our place here in 1980 for a getaway from the city.
How were you aware of MENA?
My dad was raised here.
Okay. Okay. So you do.
So we came, we spent a lot of time camping and mm-hmm. water skiing and coming back, you know.
Okay. So you and Donna were already married and you had purchased land here as a...
Actually, that's the year we got married, the year we bought the land.
Oh, cool.
It was... 80 was a big year.
Okay.
So we met there at the steel company and she wouldn't have anything to do with me at work. She didn't want any kind of scuttlebutt going on, you know, about... Uh-huh.
Because she's a foreman.
That's right.
No HR issues. We don't need that.
No, that's right. And so anyway, when we got married and we just started coming up here every chance we got mm-hmm. to stay in our little, it was a little one room log cabin, 12 by 16 on the property, mm-hmm. four wheel drive to get there.
You still need four wheel drive to get to your house and in my
most
opinion.
Of the time. Yeah. Well, it's better now.
Okay. The when we took a Land Rover out there, I was like, oh my gosh, how does he get to his house?
It's a trick. Yeah. But anyway, after we bought our place here, we thought all of this timber, you know, we have 20 acres. We thought, you know, this was, what can we do to make a living here in Mena mm-hmm. if we ever decided to move here? So we went to a community college in Dallas and took woodworking course together and learned how to, you know, all the machinery side of things and how to do stuff. So the instructor finally at some point, after I think we'd been in it 2 or 3 years, he said, I've taught you all I can in this program. And he directed me to a guy that had a cabinet shop that was working by himself, building furniture and cabinets, really a quality guy. And so I went and talked to him and he wanted me to come and work for him. Partly because he was doing sometimes big cabinetry they needed help with. Mm-hmm. So we ended up splitting jobs. Every other job would be mine. And he trained me in hand tools. Well, that's where I was really started with him was hand tools. Hand cutting dovetails and joinery and learning all. Hand planing a board flat and true, you know, and just details.
The absolute
stuff.
Basics, right?
Yes, which was backwards from what you would normally do is learn the hand tools and then go to the machinery. But mm-hmm. I did it backwards, which was okay. It worked out really well that way. But learning the field of running a hand plane across the board and telling whether it's flat or not and that kind of stuff was really fun. And Donna did not care about that kind of detail in it, at that time. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But she had the background then. And so after a while, I wasn't getting enough business doing splitting the business. So I moved into my garage and started woodworking. And down there, you can run one Yellow Page ad and you got a bit more business and you know what to do with, especially a one-man shop. So that's how I got started in the wood and building that up.
So what types of things were you making once you were solo on your own? I mean, just any custom just anything?
Pretty much anything that came along. And I, at one point, I had seen a router used, seen a video of it, and I thought, you know, I don't have a job for this now, but I could see the potential. If I had it, it would give me an opening to do things. So I bought this router, and I was using a finisher down there in Texas to do my finishing work for me. And he was finishing fajita boards, which the plywood platters that they serve to feed it, the hot cast iron for fajitas.
Right, when the waitress sets it down and says, this is hot, don't touch this, because right. She's got it on a trivet.
That's right.
Because you can't touch that thing.
And so we got to talking about those, and the guy that was bringing them to him to be finished was not happy with the machining, the quality. And, you know, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing those, and that ended up being contract with Chili's and On the Border. And we're still doing those 30-some years later.
So that's the really interesting part of this story, is that if you've eaten fajitas at Chili's and On the Border, you're eating fajitas that are on a cast iron skillet that are sitting on a trivet that Rick Chrisman made.
That's so cool.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Your handiwork is literally across the nation.
And over, they export, too.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were doing, you got these contracts and you were still doing this out of Dallas at the time?
Right.
And what prompted the move to bring the business here to Mena? Well, I say Mena, but you're actually Hatfield area, so.
Yeah. We just got to a point where, well, the steel company we were working for gave Donna a job. When we decided we wanted to move, they gave her a territory up here. But she hated the travel. She hated sales, mm-hmm. cold calling and doing, you know, that kind of stuff. But she did it for about a year. And then we said, this is enough. Let's just cut our ties to Dallas and move up here. So we had that business. We had a shop in the meantime, had built a shop out there at our place. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, walk 100 feet to work, which was a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And so we did that and got it built it up. And then we added handcrafted boxes mm-hmm. to the mix so that we had some creative juices to go with. And built that. We were selling those boxes nationwide for 15 years, something like that.
Well, let me ask you this because, well, what year was this that you you relocated officially?
We moved here in 95.
95. So, I mean, the internet was a thing, but it was a baby thing. It was not used at that time for the volume of marketing and sales that it is now. So how were your operations run at that time without being able to reach out like that? I mean, were you putting ads in the phone book? What were you doing to...
Phone book was useless here.
Okay.
It was... We already had the connections.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved here and started that operations there, we had a party line. And that was a challenge.
Oh, okay.
Let's in 1995, you still had a party line?
Yeah, I remember my friends had party lines in the 90s.
And we had just gotten electricity there. We had to pay to get the electricity out there.
Okay, so side note, listeners, I feel like some of you are probably going to be young enough that you don't know what a party line is.
They probably don't.
And a party line, Trey, do you know what a party line is?
I do not.
Okay. So Trey just chimed in that no, he has no clue. And a party line is when several homes share the same phone line, especially if they're in the rural area. So sometimes you'd pick up the phone and your neighbor would already be on it talking to someone else. And you'd have to wait, hang it back up and wait till they get off. You could pick it up and be like, hey, Billy Bob, I need to make a phone call. You got to wrap it up with Auntie Ellen. Okay.
I'm beside myself that in 1995, this was still a thing.
Well, you don't understand where he lives in Hatfield. He's in the middle of nowhere, Jerry.
Okay. I'm just, you know, in 1995, I'm listening to the AOL dial-up tone, getting ready to get online. No, you're still on party line in Hatfield.
All right. So you had a party line. Here's where that's where we diverged at.
So we pretty much got orders on fax. You know, mm-hmm. and there was very little internet. We didn't have cell service, was almost non-existent. We ended up buying a bag phone. We had a one-ton truck to go get materials and stuff for mm-hmm. our wood. And so I put a bag phone in the truck.
My dad had a bag phone in his Ford Dooley. I remember this.
You know, people will never remember those things because they were awful.
I'm starting to show my age because I do. Right. Yeah.
So we could at least communicate when I was on the road or whatever. And that, we just did it that way until we were able to get internet. I don't even remember when that was. It wasn't a big deal. The dial tone, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, it was a screeching, awful mm-hmm. sound. Mm-hmm. It worked. I mean, we were able to communicate with our customers and mostly phone, you know.
And at that point, you guys still handled every single aspect of the business, from soliciting the orders, to taking the orders, to actually completing the products, production, shipping, you know, service after the sale, all that, every bit of it. At what point did you start to hire on help?
There was a guy living out there close to us that was working part-time for us. And then our friend Richard Spies, that lived about a half a mile down the road, his brother, they're all from Arlington, Texas. Richard was wanting to move up here. His brother was going to give him a piece of property, and he had started a little log cabin on it. And so we started talking to him about having employment when he came up here. He didn't know what, he was in construction, mostly a painter. And so we worked out a deal where he would be able to move up here and work for us full time. And so that was our first really full-time employee. And he worked for us for 15 years. It was fantastic. You could trust him to do anything. So we didn't have a lot of worry there. And we've been lucky all along with being able to find good employees even now.
But you were doing well enough at that time to be able to, that you needed the help, that your orders, absolutely. I mean, required you had the help. So what's the most people you've employed in this woodworking business at one time?
Six.
Wow.
Well, at one time, in addition to the fajita trivets, we got it hooked up with a West Clocks making clock rings, clock cases. And we were turning out a couple thousand a week.
Whoa.
Of those. And we were buying glued up panels of oak and various woods. And we'd, you know, go all over to wood manufacturers in the state. And these were little like 12-inch pieces. They're cutoffs and they couldn't use. And so we would buy them and they'd glue them up for us. And then you cut out a center, a circle, and then you shape the outside of it and you got a clock case. And then we'd ship them to them and they would put the movement in them. And they were in places like the Office Depots and places like that, Target and Walmart. Wow. And we did that for, I don't know, several years. And then the exodus of manufacturing to China and mm-hmm. Vietnam and all those came about, and West Clocks filed bankruptcy. And so we had to quit that.
But I mean, you're still operating, though, to this day. Aside from what you're doing here in town, you still have the business. Well, I know that you've outsourced some stuff.
All
because
of it. It got to a point where the manual labor over 30 years took a toll on us. And so, and Donna's softball.
Right. Donna and her knees. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Our hands.
Yeah.
So anyway, we decided, well, what can we do? Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, you know, this is pretty hot work out here. You come out of there all battered with sawdust after a hot day. Let's go start a restaurant.
Yeah, because that's a fabulous idea.
It didn't get hot in the kitchen. Yeah.
I want to preface this with, you seem to me, which obviously I didn't know you in your early years, but I have known you for some number of years and we've worked very closely together. But you seem to me like you've always been a very artsy person, whether that was, you know, creating these things with your hands, with wood, or just actually being a patron of and enjoying the arts. I don't mean this in any way other than you always remind me of just an old hippie and I love it. I was like, I'm so jealous of the era you grew up in, and it seems like you were exposed to some really, really cool things. But you've always had an interest in art. Art, correct?
I think craftsmanship. More than art. I don't think I have a real artsy mind.
Not like a fine art, but just quality.
Quality craftsmanship is my thing.
Right. So when you decided, hey, we're going to open a restaurant, was the art gallery part of it originally in the concept, or was it just, hey, we want some good food to eat around here?
The first motivation was Donna had never cooked. She didn't cook.
I mean, what?
No.
But she's so good.
But, well, TV. At that time, the programs on TV were actually teaching you how to cook. They weren't competitions like they are now.
Right, when you actually had like Justin Wilson and yes.
Mm-hmm. And so she spent tons of time watching those and playing, you know, in our kitchen with flavors. And she had a knack for it. And when we started came up with the idea of the restaurant, it was going to be basic, you know, two or three sandwiches and, you know, so just not something we could do ourselves, not have to really worry about employees and all that. She couldn't do it. She had to grow it.
She had to go big. Go big. Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family-owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are, and they offer all the brands you're going to find online. Like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on, and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So, like, the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Don's?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Don's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen. They've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Don's and get it. You can also go to Don's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Don's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
Not to worry, because Don's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Don's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Don's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, Dequeen, Broken Bow, Idabel, Poteau, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Don's home store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So can I find them online too?
Yeah. So you just get on Facebook and search Don's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Idabel or Boonville. And you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address, and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Don's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car, shopping trip. Let's start with the building itself. I mean, like, I'm trying to remember what shape that building was in when you guys got it.
Actually, it was in pretty good shape. Chaz had that motorcycle shop in there.
Oh, yeah. Big Bear.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And he put electricity in. I mean, it was in fabulous shape and clean.
Mm-hmm.
He had a machine shop in there.
Okay.
And it was, I have never seen, and you know, being in the steel business, I've been in some machine shops. And they're usually a bunch of pile of oily shavings on the ground, on the floor. And there was none of that.
I've been in his motorcycle shop that he has now, and it is spotless.
It's amazing. Yeah. I don't know how, he's got to be cleaning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the building was in great shape, had about 3 layers of paint on the floor that mm-hmm. we got off of there. So we spent a year and a half after we tried, looked at several buildings around town that we thought would work. We did not have the art and food concept
together yet.
Okay. Yeah. So we spent all this time, you know, with the wood shop. We could build our own cabinetry and, you know, displays and do all that. We knew what to do. So we spent all that time working on that. And then in the process, through the art gallery,
mm-hmm.
we met Jim and Jane Brace.
Mm-hmm.
They had retired here from their artwork out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jane sold shoes at Neiman Marcus for years. Instead of trying to keep up with the people she was selling to, she saved her money.
Right, right.
And so they were able to retire. And Jim told a story of how he sold his artwork down in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And he would put it in restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And he had a route that he would go on every, week or two or whatever it was, and go replace the work that had been sold. And I said, well, duh, here we go. Another income stream for a restaurant that may not be steady, you know, all the time. It seemed like a perfect mix. So we got with him and figured out what would work. So we set it all up for, you know, hanging artwork, not having to drill holes in the wall and that kind of stuff. And then got him involved in our tables.
Mm-hmm. Because your tables mm-hmm. are very unique. Mm-hmm. Very, very unique.
He had all these screens that he had used over the years for screen printing his work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up in our shop and screen printed those. I never had an experience of screen printing, but it was really a learning thing. It was a lot of fun. And to watch him mix colors and everything. We have similar images on those tabletops, but there's none exactly alike. They're all mm-hmm. different colors. And so now he comes in every 3 weeks or so and changes out the art on the walls. And you'll see some similar stuff come rotating mm-hmm. through there, but it's all different. He rearranges it. I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. He comes in and does that.
And nice. He's getting income off of it. You're getting income off of it. And there you go.
Exposure. And yeah. he mm-hmm. gets commissions. So he gets work off of that. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good relationship.
You guys had found your building. You mm-hmm. had, you know, spent the time getting it the way you needed to with the displays and everything. Donna had gone from, oh, we'll just have a couple sandwiches and salads to, I can't stop there because there's too much amazing food.
Yeah.
What was the year you officially opened American Artisans?
2013.
You have since become a staple in this mm-hmm. community. I mean, absolutely a staple. But, you know, give us a little bit of rundown on the opening of that in the early years getting going.
Well, it was quite a challenge because there was no kitchen in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to buy all the kitchen equipment. What really helped us plan that, how to make it work and organize the kitchen to suit what we were doing, was our background in manufacturing and working in the steel business and the wood business. We learned processes, mm-hmm. how important it was to keep things, you know, in line and make it easy. And we were adamant that we wanted to be clean. And one thing that you always hear is you look at a restroom in a restaurant, and if it's not clean, you don't want to see the kitchen. We were very strong on trying to present that. And so I think we've succeeded in that. But organizing the kitchen and all, and then we hired a couple of guys that had restaurant experience because we didn't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the methods of preparing the food and all of that kind of stuff. And so we hired them, and they would not even let Donna in the kitchen. to learn.
Well, chefs are, they're a difficult bunch. They can be. Not all chefs, no offense.
No, they're not all that way. But these guys were pretty proud of themselves, and they were friends, and it was not a good mix.
Was it the dynamic you were looking for?
No, not at all. Donald wanted to learn more about production in the food side. And so we shut down for, I don't remember, several months and rethought everything. So we would open back up with, you know how it is with employees. When you hire somebody, you may have to go through five or six before you find the one that fits. Mm-hmm. And so we started that process. And then we ended up with Don Steckinger, who's, had never worked in that kind of environment, but knew she was conscientious and knew what we were trying to accomplish. So she came in. Well, she came in actually while those two guys were there, but knew enough to take it. So it was a gradual process. We've been through a lot of people, and we wanted to have a family type relationship among our employees. Something, we didn't want a bunch of infighting and backstabbing and all that. It just wasn't worth working in that environment. So,
well, that's something that you notice right when you come into Artisans is Rick's behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Donna's in the kitchen.
Yes.
Okay. They do run with a small staff, but it is because they are there working. If I need to go in there and talk to Rick, I'm most likely going to have to wait a while because he's got customers and customers are first.
Yep.
That is very obvious when you go in there that this is run very well and it is family style. They I love the dynamic you have going on in there.
We try to cross train. So if somebody's in the kitchen that there's food ready to come out and I can't get to it out front, they'll take it out, just so that everybody can do everybody's job, except they won't let me in the kitchen.
that I can understand. Donna is, from what I see, is very proud of the menu and the creations. You said she was watching a lot of Food Network or things like that to learn. This is before everything was the Great American Bake Off or whatever. What was the basis for, your menu? Your salads are so fresh. You have the best lettuce. And I've been in there and watched Donna hand-picking lettuce, she is serious about the greens that are accepted and the greens that are not accepted, okay? And your sandwiches are just such inventive combinations of flavor.
And the chips.
Oh, yeah.
That took some time learning how to do those. But she and I both, and this was mostly to get me up to speed. We took when the culinary course was out at the college, we both took that. Got to know Hector Costamagna quite well. And so when we started developing these items for the menu, we had three or four sandwiches and two or three salads. We invited Maureen and Hector to come in and sit down and ate everything we offered.
Okay.
And get his critique on it. And the only critiques he had was on presentation. He said the flavors are good, and that's just where Donna has a knack. She just was, this would be good with that, and just kind of after experimenting with things over the years, she knew what flavors would work together, and so we would try them. And now we use our feature board to try new stuff, to see if
and you get the feedback from that based on if you want to add it to the.
We would try not to add any more to the menu, but the features roll back around, and so people are kind of waiting on them. So we see that as a really, it keeps people coming back.
What do you think is the most popular sandwich for locals? Because I'm going to say Woo Pig Suey.
That's really popular.
That's my favorite.
Well, it's got the maple Dijon on it. And that's something that she came up with to make the maple Dijon with mustard seeds and maple syrup and beer.
That's awesome.
And that's from watching TV, getting the concept. And then she tweaked it.
Is there another one that's as popular?
The chicken melt has the same spread on it, but that was one of our first ones, and it's by far the biggest seller. So the suey pig, and one thing we try to do is if you got an ingredient, a spread or whatever it is, you want to try it on a new thing. It needs to be on more than one thing so that you're not wasting stuff. And so that's one of the keys to our sandwiches. We try to have it on more than one thing.
Right. Versatile ingredients. Yes, can be used. My favorite salad there is their Cape Cod with grilled chicken. It is just fabulous. I'm actually getting hungry.
I am too. You were mentioning the features that roll back every night. I wait for it's the Greek Mediterranean.
Oh, yeah. Mediterranean. Greek wrap. Yeah. Portobello or chicken. It's good.
We're going to have to go to lunch.
I think we are. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So you've got that whole thing rolling. Donna's now in the kitchen. You're starting to get some regular repeat business, because I'd like to know how many years in business it took for you to start seeing the kind of lunch crowds I know that you were seeing, especially on a regular basis before COVID. I'm sure it's picking back up at this point, but we want to not even worry about the whole COVID portion, but the amount of people you had in there during the lunch hour pre-COVID, it was always astounding to me.
Well, it took probably 4 years or so to really, the issue in a small town like this is getting the word out. The most effective way of advertising was radio, for sure, and at that time.
Yeah.
But word of mouth is what has built it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And it's really funny. A lot of the guys, well, I don't want to go to that frou-frou place. And so we get them in there and let them try a suey pig.
Mm-hmm. And they're hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hooked.
Oh, this is good. So that, you know, it just takes a lot of time in a small community to start a business of any kind, really.
Well, you have the key ingredients, and it seems like you laid the groundwork to make sure that those key ingredients would work well together, because you've got the freshness, you've got the flavors of the menu, you've got the aesthetic of the place. Because like you said, maybe men were like, oh, I don't want to go in that foo-foo place. But it, man, it's classy, Rick. It is classy all the way to the exterior with your signage and your logo. It is so classy. I got no other word for it.
Well, thank you.
So as far as the aesthetics, I mean, obviously Jim Brace had a lot to do with, you know, the interior decor with the art and everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm always very interested in graphic design. So your logo, was that something that you designed yourself or initiated, or?
Jim Brace.
Jim Brace did the logo. There we go. Yeah.
But, you know, the whole gallery art side of things, you know, I was involved in the Mean Art Gallery for, mm-hmm. I was board chair for 10 years. And that all mostly came from us selling our wooden boxes, because we would go to a show in Philadelphia every year and get wholesale orders. It was all wholesale. Get those orders, come back and produce them and ship them. During that time, there was like 700 or 800 vendors, all selling wholesale. And it was glass, wood, jewelry, you name it. Anything that anybody was making by hand mm-hmm. was there to be sold, to take orders for. And so we got to know how that worked. We have some consignment work, but we buy most of it from people that produce it for wholesale customers. So you don't compete with them selling retail.
Retail, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And so that allowed us to price things like we needed to and not be in competition with the people who were producing it. And we just gradually learned what things we sold here. It took a while because not everything was received mm-hmm. well. By far, our most sales come from tourism.
Well, yeah, because if you're not familiar, but when you walk into Artisans, right at the front, I mean, that's the gallery portion of it. And, you know, you've got to look back past that to see that there's a restaurant back there. It's a nice open space. But even with people, like, I feel like peeking in the windows, they're going to see art.
Right.
They're going to see art for sale right there in the beginning. And I always used to joke when my kids were little and I'd take them in there for lunch, like, please do not touch anything. Oh my gosh, let's just go. We're going to walk straight through the gallery as quick as we can. And we're going to get to the restaurant portion of it. Because you've got some gorgeous stuff in there. And are you handpicking mm-hmm. these things? I mean, well, then your taste is exquisite, because
we don't handpick individual items, but mm-hmm. we do.
But you choose your vendors.
Yes, absolutely.
You know that those are quality vendors,
yep.
But also the variety. And you've also got a pretty large variety as far as price point goes, mm-hmm. because it seems like there's something for everyone. You've got jewelry in there that's not going to cost very much, but it's handmade jewelry and it's very, very pretty, all the way up to these amazing wind chimes and large scale pieces of art. Just yeah. Such unique stuff in there. And I love that you've chosen those vendors yourself, and they're able to, and some of them are kind of local to Arkansas, but some are from other parts of the country.
It's nationwide.
Yeah. I mean, we're not just looking at Arkansas made stuff, although there is some things from Arkansas in there.
Absolutely.
Even some local things like Lucas Turner's, Naughty Woods, those boxes that also sell at the gift shop at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville.
Yep.
And that's hardcore to get into that gift shop for sure.
We have some glass work that's done here in Arkansas that sells out of Crystal Bridges also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to pick quality.
You do a very, very good job of it.
And you're right. The important thing that you mentioned there was various mm-hmm. prices, because some people will come in and they'll spend $500 or $600 easily.
Mm-hmm.
And others want a pair of earrings.
Yeah.
So
they spend that $500 or $600 and then they eat lunch, don't they?
Well, yes.
Yes, they do. Mutually beneficial relationship.
And so you can shop in the art gallery while mm-hmm. you're waiting for your food. You know, there's mm-hmm. It's a great mix. It gives people something to do besides sitting there waiting for food.
Well, what you said about the majority of those gallery sales probably being from tourists, mm-hmm. I think that you are an excellent representation of MENA in general, because so many people, maybe it's their first time visiting MENA, mm-hmm. and they think of us as quaint and outdoorsy and, you know, but maybe not as having a polished or contemporary edge to us, but we do. We truly do.
Absolutely.
And you show that off with the things that you've picked in the gallery and with the type of food you serve, because, man, anytime somebody comes to town and they're like, well, where should I go have lunch? I direct them to you. I always do. And they'll be like, oh, what is it? Soups and salads and sandwiches. I'm like, yes, but okay, it's not your normal soup, salad, and sandwiches. Like, I think I'm just hungry. I think that's what it is. I think I'm just starving. So, how about if it's lunchtime? What are we going to have from Wendy's?
You know, I really like Dave's Double for Lunch.
I really like their pub fries.
Yes, pub fries are delicious.
No, dude, the pub fries have a warm beer, cheese sauce, and applewood smoked bacon. Do you know what else they have the lockdown on?
What's that?
Rewards.
Rewards? I'm all about some rewards. Tell me.
You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me you could have gotten breakfast for me with a 2-for-4 deal. You could have gotten breakfast for the entire office with a 2-for-4 deal, spent over $15 and then gotten $3 off and fed us all.
Jerry, it's that time. You're going to have to be an adult. You need to download the Wendy's app yourself.
Ugh. Well, it doesn't seem that difficult, so I guess this is my opportunity to start doing things for myself.
That's exactly what you should do, because with the Wendy's app, you can order online, you can view the menu, or you can just locate the Wendy's nearest you.
But can we have Producer Trey pick it up for us?
We could have Producer Trey pick it up, or they will actually deliver.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So if you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you. Because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying. But you do a great job of showing the tourists a side of MENA that they might not be aware of. And in addition to that, you're an excellent ambassador for tourism in general because you have served on the Advertising and Promotion Commission here in MENA for several years. And that's the commission, listeners, if you've heard any of our previous episodes, that just they spend the dollars to promote MENA to out-of-town and out-of-state visitors. So is that what kind of naturally led you to get involved in the AMP Commission by interacting with all these tourists and being a presence downtown and seeing, you know, what needed to be done there? Because I kind of count you as one of the cornerstones of the revitalization of MENA Street.
Thank you for saying that, because that's kind of the way we feel about it. We started the food to be very different from anybody else's food in town. Mm-hmm. We needed something different. The art was, in addition, different. We started calling that section of downtown the Art District. Mm-hmm. We formed the Downtown Partners so that we could help promote downtown mm-hmm. businesses. And so, you know, and then I was seeing what the AMP Commission was doing. It changes. It's up and down trying to find commissioners that are people that are willing to devote the time, because it's an active commission. It takes time to do it. So being, you know, restaurants is one of the categories of commissioners. And so I was in the right place at the right time. And James Earl invited me to come see what they do. And so I did, and they accepted me. And I've just been, you know, working at it all along and learning more about what we need in this area, what draws people here, how we can increase people in MENA itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a lot of draws around in the county, which is fine. That's great. But MENA itself depends on tax revenue from lodging and restaurants. Mm-hmm. And that's how we promote for tourism. So I just felt like there was a need to really focus on that and maybe look at things a little bit differently the way that it's promoted. You know, you can get stale and go the easy way and keep it going like that, and it doesn't accomplish what it needs to.
Here's the way I look at this is you can be unhappy with the way things are going and you can sit around and gripe about it, or you can be unhappy with the way things are going and you can get involved mm-hmm. and put some work into it mm-hmm. and not to insinuate that you were not happy with the way things were going, but you saw a need and you got involved, and not just in the AMP, like you said, with the art gallery, with Downtown Partners. You have given so much to this community in the last, what, 10 years? I'm trying to kind of get my timeline here from the time you opened, 8 yeah. years. So, I mean, you have just gone full in with everything. And as I said, you're a tremendous asset, you know, a cornerstone, in my opinion, of that downtown scene. And we are so proud of the downtown now. I mean, we have people from out of state or from neighboring towns. I remember getting this Facebook message a couple of years ago when I was still with the chamber. And it was somebody from Dequeen who said, I was in town for Rod Run and I absolutely love your downtown Mena Street, and I just hope that DeQueen can have such a cool downtown one day. And I took that as a very, very good compliment, know, because people, it's just, it's such a neat place.
I think it was right for moving in the direction it is. Mm-hmm. And we kind of gave people the idea that, we could run a business down here, mm-hmm. because we've got Suzy Q's, mm-hmm. revitalized that building down there, mm-hmm. after the tornado. That was a huge asset. Now we have the Wild Hair Glass Studio. Mm-hmm. The Mena Art Gallery is thriving. OLT.
Don't forget your staple Skyline. Skyline, like one of the oldest restaurants in Arkansas.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we kind of feed off each other.
Because mm-hmm. they've got the breakfast crowd, and then they can come have something different for lunch with you.
And then you look down at the other end with the new Washitas.
Yeah.
My gosh, who would ever dream we were going to have that?
And then you've got Washburn's holding down the fort at the other end of Mena Street, you know.
It was quite a variety of businesses mm-hmm. down there. Mm-hmm. It's really, and that's kind of what you want in downtown. You want the mix.
Yeah. There are some unique challenges to our downtown area, you know, being crossed by the highway, being crossed by the train tracks. Definitely can't leave the depot out of downtown because that right there, that's the anchor, that's the landmark mm-hmm. for, hey, you are in downtown Mena, is the historic train depot. But this whole time, you've still been running the woodworking business. You have turned American Artisans into a success. You have, as I said, busted your rear end to help these commissions and these boards and just get everything going and keep going. How much longer do you think you're going to be able to do it, Rick?
Don't know.
You don't know.
Well, our goal right now is to kind of back out of running the restaurant on mm-hmm. a daily basis. I had a for sale sign in the window for several months.
Mm-hmm. Did COVID wreck all that, I'm guessing?
Actually, we had a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. We had people that were coming through. You know, people from the cities are looking to move. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were getting some interest. And then one of our employees said, I want to lease it. So we started thinking about that. And well, leasing probably wasn't the way to go because, you know, then you change ownership and you got a whole bunch of stuff to do.
Lots of paperwork, red tape.
And I didn't really want to get out of it completely because I wanted to maintain what we had built. And so now we're in the process of working out as a general manager, having this person mm-hmm. run it. She's got 20-something years experience in the restaurant business. She knows what she's doing. She loves the concept. And that's why she stepped up in the first place. Mm-hmm. So we're working to build the team that can make that work and trying to be sure that since Donna and I are not high-paid people, we volunteer a lot. So we need to be sure that we could replace ourselves and pay for it.
Right.
And justify, you know, and have a reasonable salary. So that's the stage we're in right now is working all of that out. I think probably by April sometime, we'll be ready to make that work.
Nice. Do you think you'll become even more involved in the community affairs and matters at that time once you've...
One of the things that appeals to me about backing off of that daily grind is being able to focus on... We've got a couple...
Projects.
AMP's got a major project with bike trails. I've got a project going with that old school building mm-hmm. down there. They're all moving forward, but it's going to come a time real soon when they're going to have to be really focused intently on to make them successful.
You're going to need that time that you were spending at the restaurant to
focus
on these, to see them through to completion, because they are big projects. I mean, we know about these. They are big projects.
They are. People that aren't following that and want to see Mena improve are going to be, I think,
blown away.
Invested in it, but I think they're going to be totally blown away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brain explosion
what
emoji.
What it's going to do for Mena and the county.
I agree. Just on the news side of things, reporting on the bike trails, mm-hmm. those news articles get the most traffic from outside of the area and are some of our most viewed articles.
On our website. It's awesome.
And it generates a lot of traffic to our website from people not in Mena or Polk County. And that's very interesting.
It's amazing how many people ride bikes and they're coming out mm-hmm. and contacting us to know more about it. Mm-hmm. There's a gravel biking. People are wanting to put on a gravel biking event in mm-hmm. downtown Mena. You know, you look at the ATVs that come through here and there you see trailer load with three or four ATVs on them, you know, and they're coming through. You don't notice the bicycles mm-hmm. nearly.
Because they're not on a trailer. They're stuck on the back of the rig or, you know, mm-hmm. up on top. Like, they're just not as evident as a trailer with six ATVs on it. Yeah.
So now I'm beginning to pay attention to that. It's catching my attention when I see a car go by that's got a bike on mm-hmm. it. Learning more and more about how popular that sport is. And the company that we're using to design the trails out at Ward Lake has done most of the Northwest Arkansas trails.
Yeah, well, all you have to do is look to Bentonville to see how popular it is. The fact that, that manufacturing company relocated to Bentonville that was a mountain biking thing. So yeah, you can just take a cue from Bentonville to see how popular it is. And Mena is every bit as gorgeous and has the terrain for mountain biking that Bentonville does. Before we start our lightning round, what are the current operating hours at Artisans?
Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 3.
Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 3. So if you're in the mood for some amazing food while you're in Mena, whether you're a local or you're just visiting here, American Artisans at 601?
615.
615. I was so close. 615 Mena Street, just a couple doors down from the art gallery and from Wild Hair. It's a great place. You won't be disappointed that you made a trip there. So we're going to do our lightning round real quick, Rick. And this is just for fun. And we just throw out some quick questions at you and you give us your gut answer right away. If you want to expound on it, you totally can. But we just like to get to know people a little bit better outside of what we were talking about. So I'll kick it off with, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Independent.
That's yes.
The best answer we have had. Besides Derek saying he wanted to be a pizza delivery boy. That was good.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
Oh, a hawk or eagle, so I could look at everything.
If you could have a dinner party, what three people dead or alive would you invite?
Oh, you mean anywhere?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never thought about that. I think probably I would invite my closest friends.
Really?
Yeah.
There's nobody like, you know, deceased or famous that you might want to meet and have dinner with?
Barack Obama would be a good choice, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if I could keep up with him intellectually, but it would be fun.
I bet he'd enjoy a beer with you and maybe slow his roll a little.
That's the one most recent person that I think would be fun to sit down and visit with.
So you could have you and Donna and Barack.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
He's going to say to fly because he wanted to be an eagle or a hawk.
That's really not a superpower, but it would be ideal. I used to have dreams about flying as a bird, not an airplane. So, you know, you could go anywhere. You could see anything you wanted to. You could go down and look close or not and that kind of thing. I think probably vision or my senses.
Enhanced senses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like super hearing and super vision.
Yeah.
And
I think those two things would probably be the...
I'd probably want to leave super touch out of that.
I was thinking I would want to leave super smell out of that. Like there's some things I don't want to be...
Sight and sound is probably the two big ones that would be fun to be enhanced.
Is there any food item or ingredient that you find totally disgusting?
Dog food.
Dog food?
Won't be on the menu anytime soon at Artisans.
No, I
you don't have like a dislike for like pickles or anything?
Licorice.
No, I love licorice. Okay. I mean, no, you know, I like all kinds of stuff. I don't necessarily distinguish flavors as much as somebody like Donna, but I appreciate the combinations and I know what's good. But I don't have any that I just despise.
Okay. He's smart. He just eats what Donna makes him.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. No complaining.
No complaining.
Suggestions, but no complaints.
I'll throw one more out at you because I feel like this might be a good answer. What song or artist do you have on repeat right now? Like, what have you been listening to the most lately?
I lean towards Mark Knopfler and J.J. Cale, Emmy Lou Harris. When those people get together, they have some magic. And it's mellow. I mean, it's really listenable.
Rick, thank you so much for taking time to visit with us today.
It's been fun. I don't get to sit and visit with y'all very often.
Right. No. We know you're crazy busy and you're probably leaving here to go right to the restaurant to get to work, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So we don't want to take up too much time, but we really, really appreciated you taking the time to talk to us and sharing your story. And I loved watching Jerry's face during this because I knew a lot of this, which is why I wanted to have you in here. And she didn't. And she's just like, what?
Huh? Yeah, I was fascinated with your story.
Yeah, well.
It's not that special to me because I've been there, but I'm glad
you're special to us, Rick.
Well, absolutely. Thank you.
It's time for that portion of the show we like to call Fast Facts with...
Producer Trey!
Yay, Trey!
You made her nervous.
I did. Well, the last one, like, I literally listened to it. I was like, oh my God, she screamed in my ear. All right, so I don't know about you, Jerry, but I thoroughly enjoyed visiting with Rick.
I did too. Most of that stuff I did not know about Rick, and I enjoy visiting with him and seeing him around town and such, but there hasn't been an opportunity to just
get personal.
Yeah, and that was such a welcome treat to really get the story behind, you know, how he came to be in Mena and what he's about and what he does.
And the fact they're still operating a woodworking business out of a rural, remote place in Hatfield after this many years, and they still have the contract with Chili's.
That's so groovy.
I mean, that's nuts. I pointed this out in the episode, listeners, but if you have eaten fajitas at Chili's, most likely they've been served to you on a trivet that was made in Hatfield, Arkansas. That's super cool.
Cool things can happen anywhere, especially in the Ouachitas.
So Rick was a good storyteller, and he gave us his background and everything. And obviously, a whole lot didn't come up. We needed a fast fact. Some episodes, we don't know what the heck we're talking about, and fast facts are necessary. With this one, not so much. But we did have a question when we started to talk about the bike trails that are being built in Mena and how that might relate to what Bentonville, Arkansas has turned into over the last few years. And I had Trey do a little bit of diving in to find out what all has been going on there. So fill us in on why Bentonville is calling themselves the mountain biking capital of the world now.
I don't know about necessarily the world. But I would definitely say they're the mountain biking capital of Arkansas. They have a lot of trails. They have over 28 miles of bike trails. Some of their trails, including Park Springs Park Trails, Blowing Springs Trail, and I have a favorite because it sounds like a metal band name, Slaughter Pin. Slaughter Pin. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Slaughter Pin, just brrr, you know.
Right.
Because of the popularity of cycling in Bentonville, a London-based cycling company called Rafa actually moved its world HQ to Bentonville from Portland. There's just been this massive resurgence. I mean, you can look and there's just bike shops and like people who build bikes and stuff like that. It just suddenly boomed there.
Right. Well, and the Walton family had a ton to do with that because two of the Walton heirs are huge cyclists. And so they have poured a ton of money back into the Bentonville area. Listeners, if you're outside of Arkansas or other parts of the U.S. or maybe even out of the country, Walmart was founded in Bentonville, Arkansas. So the Walton family has a massive legacy there, and they obviously got the cash to do it as one of the richest families in the entire world. So they've funneled a lot of cash into the development of Bentonville as a biking mecca, and it seems like they're doing a good job and it's moving right along. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. As always, thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles, brought to you by Don's Easy Pay and Don's Home Store. You can find us along with other great shows at theouachitapodcast.com. You can contact us at theouachitapodcast@gmail.com, and make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And if you're loving the show and you got a little bit of time, make sure and you give us a rating on whatever streaming platform you're listening to this episode on. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out. Thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles.